So glad to have you with us today on the Merle Shine Podcast. With me is my favorite person in the entire world, and that is my wife, Cherie Shang. So good to have you here on the podcast today, huh?
I love doing this with you. We're going to have a blast.
We are. We are.
Our kids say that you get all the life lessons when I go on a rant. Like, they're like, okay, we get all the life lessons, but we get no names. We don't even know the circumstances, what continent it's happening on. So today my goal is to like just bring some really fun stuff as if we were talking in our family.
Yeah.
And just being, I mean, I'm here, so I get to kind of mess up all the rules when I'm on the podcast with you.
No, so good to have you with.
Wifey privileges.
Yes. Good to be here together. I think today I want to talk just about the blessing of a spiritual family, right? And how we've been blessed by that. We've been a part of the Dovener National family now for years, and God has really added that to us. You know, the Bible talks about God setting the solitary in families and just the blessing of being a part of that. But I also want to talk about some of the challenges, you know, that come with close relationships in your life where, you have to live with people who wind up, you know, maybe asking you, why are you doing that? Or they're different than you. They have a different perspective, different thoughts, and a different outlook on life. And just really, you know, how to build ministry forward in that together. We've been doing this now for over 20 years.
Yeah. I mean, the applications of that are marriage, but it's also, I was thinking about the spiritual father, where the hearts are turned to the fathers and the fathers to the sons. But then there's another group of people, which is like Jesus' disciples.
Right.
And how, who was the two disciples where their mom was like, go ask him if you can sit on either side of
James and John. Yeah.
And Jesus, like, you have no idea what you're asking, where there's just this posturing and things between. Mm. And so I think this place of stewarding your inner world and getting into a place where you're operating with God's thoughts and your call, but you're working it out in real relationship is where we need to bear fruit.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting. Just that example that you shared, you know, of the disciples, we see like, hey, Jesus is obviously the leader of that group, but they're constantly going back and forth. And I think, you know, one thing that we are walked through and are walking through is like, we're moving from a place of being the person that like we've been walking with a spiritual father and mother, you know, in the movement that we're in. And now they've handed the mantle to us as leaders. And so, and we, I feel definitely confident, you know, in that leadership and their faith in us and, you know, the leaders around us, their faith in us and all of that. But now it's kind of those dynamics of like, okay, the other leaders and other people who are like your peers and brothers and sisters in the movement are now no longer working with like somebody in their, you know, someone who's like 30 or 40 years older than them. They're now working with somebody who's like around the peer level. And that's really a real change of dynamic.
And so it's like having a house full of children. I mean, the other day we were teaching our kids how different personality profiles, what they need in conflict.
Right.
And it's like, all right, because conflict is inevitable and conflict is not bad. But you, I feel like it's fundamentally like Christianity 101, which is like, first you do love languages, like love someone not in your love language, in their love language.
Right.
And then there's layers of that in leadership and in life. But I love your perspective where you talk about God is good to the just and the unjust, not because of how they responded to him, but because of who he is.
Right.
Do you want to just talk about how you steward?
Sure.
Because we're not talking how other people relate to us. We're talking about how we choose to be a reflection of Jesus and how we relate to others.
Right. And so that was a revelation that the Lord gave me out of Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus, you know, he goes into this, he's talking number one on the Sermon on the Mount, right? So he's dealing with a whole lot of different things, a whole lot of different topics, but he goes into this teaching where he comes out and at the very end, like the last verse of Matthew chapter 5, he says, therefore be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And it's like, what? Be perfect. Jesus is telling us, you know, the perfect one is telling us to be perfect. And I was like, what is that? Like, okay. And basically the Lord took me on a journey of like unpacking that scripture in that section of Matthew chapter 5 by going backwards, starting there and then going back by verse by verse by verse. And first of all, that word perfect, you know, I'm sure many people know, but if you don't, it means whole and complete. So Jesus saying, listen, be whole and be complete just as your Father in heaven is whole and complete. And that means like lacking nothing. Not like, you know, he's not any different, or he doesn't need something from us. He doesn't need us to be something in order for him to be something. Like, he's whole. He's complete. He is who he is. That's what he told Moses, right? Like, I am who I am, right? Yeah. And this place of like, he is completely and a whole, complete in himself. And Jesus says, listen, you need to be this way. And then, you know, he kind of gives the caveat before that. He says, God, he pours his rain out on the just and the unjust. What that means, he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good. And so there's this place where, and in the context there, Jesus is saying, listen, how you love people is based on you, not based on how they treat you. Mm-hmm. And so like God is loving, he loves people because it's his nature. It's what flows from him. Love flows from him to us. And so it doesn't necessarily it doesn't change him in terms of who we are, right? Like we can be having an awesome day or a terrible day, but God is still loving, right? Mm-hmm. Like we can be righteous or we can be unrighteous, but God is still loving. Why? Because he is loving. And that's our responsibility too. Like Jesus is like, listen, I want you to be a source, just like God is a source of love, a source of righteousness, a source of interaction of holiness. And I'm like, oh man, like that's a big ask. Cause in leadership, like, you know, and just in life, right? Like
yeah,
you
really can get in life. It's
you can get disrespected. You can get, you know, people like are either intentionally mean to you or unintentionally mean or disrespectful or, and even when we talk about going into other cultures, right? Like you can unintentionally offend people, you know?
Right.
Like where, well, in my culture, like that's what this means, and you've done this thing to me, right? And so not only is Jesus saying, listen, don't be easily offended, but you treat people based on who you are, not based on who they are and how they act.
Right.
And so like we've dialogued through that with our kids. I think that's, I don't know, for me, that's like a challenge every day. Like, hey, like, okay, this is, I need to live out of who I am and not out of how people treat me. And I think that's a tall order for leaders.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, and that's, I think that's God's heart, right? But to do that, you know, we really need to be able to steward our inner world.
So this is where I go with that when I hear that. So we all want to be in environments as a leader with people who are highly motivated. They're coming, bringing their best self. You are seen, you're known, you're part of the team. You're working in your calling,
yeah.
Right? Your interaction is with faith-filled people, with spirit-filled people. They're going to build you up.
Yeah.
But that environment comes from a place where you have chosen to surrender control, to surrender offense, mm-hmm. to like overlook a thing, to be in control of yourself. One of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. And to say, I'm going to show up and bring all of that because I'm a reflection of my Heavenly Father, regardless of the environment. Like if you are showing up as a leader and you're demotivated, you know, that demotivation creates an environment. Mm-hmm. And so are you the type of person reflecting Christ who that kind of team would want to be with, right? Which is such a burn to our leadership. And I think the point is in that is ministry is awesome. We have a calling, mm-hmm. but we also have to be a reflection of who our Heavenly Father has called us to be.
Right. I remember one time I was really like kind of just, okay, flat out complaining to the Lord, like Lord, like you called me to do this and I'm working with this and this and this, and this is the environment and this is what's not right. And this is what's, you know, what's challenging with this person. This is what's telling me like, this is not an ideal environment. And I remember like, I heard him speak to me in my spirit, like, well, Merle, how do you think it was for Jesus? Like, how do you think it was for me?
Right.
You know, like him coming to the earth, right, filled with sin, right? The earth, not him not being filled with sin, but the earth being filled with sin and the results of that in people and just the environment that he was stepping into, and he's bringing the kingdom of God. And that just really is like, okay, all right, Lord, like, yeah, all right. Like, okay, I need to stop complaining, stop whinging, right?
Right, yeah. So, whinging is an Australian term for complaining. You pick that up for all the non-Aussies who are listening.
Yeah, but let's talk about how do you steward your inner world then? Mm. Like because Jesus goes on in Matthew chapter 6 and after Matthew chapter 5 where he's talking about that, and he kind of, he's like, talks about giving alms, right? In the next verses. But his heart then is like, man, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Right. And for your Father who sees in secret, so do your good deeds in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Like, okay, that's talking about giving. Right. And then he goes into prayer, right. He starts to talk about prayer and he does the same thing. And he's like, when you pray, go into your prayer closet. Go into your secret place, into your hidden place with God, right? And for your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And like, okay, like, all right. So that's the same kind of thing, like hiddenness in prayer. And then he's, pray this way. Don't praise the Gentiles. Pray, go into a place of prayer for your Heavenly Father, who is in heaven, holy is his name. It goes into all of that. There's tons of great teaching on that. Larry Kreider has a great book on that, and then talks about, like, at the very end of that, portion, he's talking about how you forgive people is how you're going to be forgiven. And so, like, all of, like, this intentional teaching on prayer hinges on the way you interact with other people. And that's, like, I mean, that's very, I don't know, I guess sobering, maybe. It could be, sobering for people, is that, man, the way that God interacts with me is based on the way that I interact with other people. And then he goes, into fasting. Don't, fast, but don't do it to be seen by men. Like, don't wash your face. Don't be seen to be fasting by men. And again, for your Father who sees in secret. And so, like, the whole way through, lay up your treasures in heaven, right? Like, don't do a trumpet when you're giving away alms, and your Father who sees those things in secret. And so, at the end of that, I'm like, man, Lord, you're really dealing, in these things, like, you're really dealing with the inner world.
Right. Cause it's all that when you do it in secret and don't do it before men, it's all of that.
Right. Like, it's not to be seen, but this is, so God is dealing with the unseen parts. Jesus is talking about the unseen parts of our heart, the unseen parts of our lives, the motivations and the stories that we wind up telling ourselves sometimes, right? And the way we react, the way we come out of situations or come into situations, and how we can have this perspective. He goes, the very last thing, or towards the end there, he starts to talk about our eyes being the lamp of our body. And I was always kind of confused by that, right? Like, okay, our eyes are a lamp to our body. Like, what does that mean? But when you study it out, like, it's talking about, like, when you take a really bright lamp and you put it in a small room, it enables everything that's in that room to be worked on. Like, it the effectiveness of everything that's in that room goes to a high level, right? You dim that light and it gets harder and harder. And, like, it's like when you wake up in the middle of the night, right? And everything's dark and you're feeling your way around. Like, you can live that way. You can live that way, feeling your way around with your feelings or whatever, and you can get some stuff done, but the effectiveness of your life goes way up when you flip the light on. And, I love this one verse. Forget where it is. It's in Psalms somewhere. I'll come up with it just now, very soon here. It's in Psalms 89, verse 15. Psalmist says, "Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance." The Bible says that Jesus and God dwells in unapproachable light, right? And that we are in him. So I think about this, like, wow, God, like, you dwell in unapproachable light that darkness cannot comprehend, that darkness cannot overtake, that darkness cannot overwhelm. That's you. Like, you dwell in that. And you say that we are inside of you, which means that, Lord, in the saving grace of your presence, in the saving grace of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we are literally surrounded by your glory, right? And, mm-hmm. you know, Paul talks about like gazing, that we're changed from glory to glory, like when we're looking upon his face,
or
right?
The light of his countenance.
Right. And that's what I think that is, you know, mm-hmm. the psalmist is referring to the light of his countenance. There's all this glory around us in the spirit realm. Because of the presence of the Lord with us, because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit on us, in us, through us. And yet Jesus is saying, listen, you know, to the degree that your eyes are open or clear or healthy or whole, if you study out what that, you know, what a healthy eye is, right? Unclouded. You know, if you have a window and you put the blinds on, no lights or very little light is coming in that window. And that's how our eyes are. In other words, how you see the world impacts everything else in your life. How you see what God is doing, how you see the world around you impacts everything that is happening, everything else in it, and what's able to be happening in our lives. And so many times I think that the enemy is going around trying to hand out blinders, right? Mm-hmm. Like trying to hand out lenses, like look at the world through this lens, look at the world through this lens. I mean, I know that's what the media does, right? Like mm-hmm. you watch, you know, one news media, you know, one news stream and another news stream, and they're all trying to hand you their lenses. Like, see this situation this way, see this situation from this perspective, from this perspective. And yet I think that we're called to see the world through God's perspective mm-hmm. and the light of his countenance, and how much of the glory of the Lord that's surrounding us in the spirit realm because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because of his presence, because of his face, is actually getting to the inside mm-hmm. of us. And that has to do with how we choose to see.
Yeah, I love that, because if you're talking about stewarding your inner world and all of the verses you mentioned about your Father in heaven seeing what's done in secret,
right.
And you layer that with leadership. Mm-hmm. When you don't deal with pain in your life by coming before his presence and letting the light of his countenance shine mm-hmm. on that, there is ripple effects of pain that happen. And I remember hearing someone speak one time, and they said a lot of times when there's dysfunction in how you handle, you know, the offenses, the pains, parts. You have a calling, but these things are going to happen. Mm. Whether you're in ministry, whether your ministry is in the marketplace, where you work, in your family, you are going to have opportunities to prioritize your emotions over what the truth of the Word of God says.
Right.
And, you know, whether this can be your identity and what God has for his people, it doesn't apply to you. But they said this interesting thing. They said people will either do two things. They will either become a workaholic to try to push that down so that they don't deal with the inner world.
Okay.
Or they will advocate boundaries and be like, well, what difference does it make anyway? Mm. And they will, in a moment where the pressure is just too intense, they will just, you know, release that pressure with usually an addictive behavior, whatever it could be. Wow. And I think if we don't talk about this light of God, you know, that's a place of surrender. A place of reality. It's saying we can either choose to keep our lens or we can choose to say, I need to come before him and let him reflect onto me so that what I carry is not just all my stuff,
right?
But it's his light. It's a reflection of him.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what you're talking about when you're like, what do you see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, this is what we're called to as believers, is we're called to be that reflection of Christ, right? And I think, you know, it's more than just our deeds, but it's how we posture our hearts before God. Like Jesus demonstrated that, right? How we are to relate to the Father and how we are to relate to God. And I think there's a part of this where we grow and we learn and we fail forward and we get back up and we learn, like though the righteous fall seven times, they will get up again, you know, like, and I think that's a lot of the journey that we go on. And then looking, I mean, let's talk about it. We were talking about that a while ago, just where we're not looking for other people to be the solution. We're not looking for other people to bring healing. We're looking you know, a lot of times we're looking to Jesus. So we discover our own weaknesses. We discover our own tendencies.
Or our needs, or emotions, needs. You know, whatever mm-hmm. it is.
Yeah. We discover those things by interacting with other people. But then instead of saying, okay, well, I have these needs in my life, you now become the source of healing. No,
it's your job to fix me, and I'm going to be upset at you, offended,
right,
if you don't do it the way I want you to.
Right, yeah. Where we take those things and then go to God and say, God, you know, I recognize these things because of my interactions with other people. I recognize that this is an area of need or pain, unresolved conflict, whatever, in my life, and I'm coming to you for healing. Mm-hmm. I'm coming to you for that.
For comfort. Know. He is the comforter. Mm. We can go to a lot of other things for comfort, or mm-hmm. we can go to him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's powerful. Yeah, so let's take a moment and just pray for people here today.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just pray for the comfort. So I know we touched on a lot of different or deep, intricate things here, but I think there's this place where we start to walk in faith. Mm-hmm.
And spirit and truth.
Spirit and truth. And as we walk with believers, right, like there's never going to be always the most optimal environment, but that's why we're called to bring the kingdom. We're called to bring that, right, into the earth. As we walk with peers, we walk with believers, there's lots of opportunity for like offense. There's lots of opportunities for things that maybe don't go the way we think it should go. And yet God is still able to work.
Yeah.
He's still able to move, you know, through those things. And, you know, like somebody doesn't give me offense. Some offense is something that I pick up, right?
Oh, wow.
So like there's this place of saying like, okay, God, I'm going to choose to be a source of health, a source of wholeness, like you say for us to be, you know, like, and not be looking for other people to give validation to me. But in that, so let's just take a moment and pray.
Yeah,
for people, because these are the hard things. Like this is what Jesus is really dealing with, I think, when he's talking about the inner world.
And people often look at us and they think, oh, you know, maybe I don't know what they think. But the point is, what we aim for to show up mm-hmm. is that we can show up faith-filled, mm-hmm. building people up under the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, like in this place of overflow. That doesn't come from wallowing in yourself.
No.
That comes from beholding him and surrendering to him mm-hmm. and then walking out in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the type of teams we want to work with.
Right.
But this is the stewarding of the internal stuff mm-hmm. that it takes. Because we don't want like team members who are going to like not know how to do this and they abdicate all boundaries or like mm-hmm. I'm just going to like ignore it and push it down because it comes out it later. Comes out, yeah. Oh my goodness.
What was that? I don't know if it was our kids or somebody who was saying like somebody says, oh yeah, like when we were younger, we never went to therapy. And somebody else was like, oh yeah, it shows.
It shows. That shows. Yeah. And we're made to figure this out in relationship.
Right.
You know, we're made to have our spiritual fathers and mothers or our peers mm-hmm. who are like, hey, I'm curious, like what's underneath that?
Right.
And then you actually, once you find it, you can go to your heavenly father mm-hmm. who is the restorer. You know, it doesn't always come from our environment mm-hmm. where that need is met. It
Psalms
comes
23.
From our father.
Yeah, he restores my soul.
He restores our soul.
Like there was, you know, yeah, that's the point. Like he is the restorer mm-hmm. of the soul. Mm-hmm. And he is the one that, you know, brings health, wholeness, life, deliverance, freedom, victory,
joy. It's like you
joy.
Say, what do you see? So you come to him, the light of his countenance, his light has no darkness.
Right.
And we take his lens.
No shadow of turning. Right.
We take his lens.
Yeah.
With what we see.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Father, we pray for people wherever they are today,
Jesus.
That right now with your gracious goodness,
thank you, Lord.
That you would bring your illumination, mm-hmm. Lord,
you,
and
Spirit.
Places where maybe there's been hurt or mm-hmm. people have struggled to show up feeling like, oh, how can I show up in this relationship, in this context with this mm-hmm. thing? But Lord, right now we bring it to you in a place of surrender. Mm-hmm. And we thank you that you're giving us new eyes to see. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for just spiritual families, God, that you connect us with relationships, Father, that are there to spur us on to health, wholeness, and victory, and faith, God, they're there to bring faith and stir faith in our hearts. And God, they're not there just because of a trauma bond or like some that they've had similar experiences to me. And so I wind up, you know, being somehow feeling connected to them. Lord, I thank you, God, that a spiritual family is truly there to see your kingdom come, to see the health, the wholeness, the glory of your presence be on the earth, even with all the trouble that we see around the world, all the trouble that we see in the world, God, we thank you, Lord, that your church, your children can be a source of light, a source of health, wholeness, and joy, freedom, victory. God, I think that you, God, thank you that you have called us to walk in these things. And thank you, Lord, that there is grace for this. And Father, there's grace to see your kingdom come in greater measures, in fuller measures, God, than we have ever seen it before, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for every person, God, those who are listening, who say, well, I've never really explored my inner world much, or don't give much thought to it, or those who maybe feel things more deeply than anybody else that they know. And God, they're carrying wounds from the past, or carrying things, wounds from things that have happened to them. Thank you, Lord, that you are the healer. And so, God, I thank you that you take each person by the hand. You lead them forward. You bring them into the right connections, divine connections, the right relationships, Father, that are there for our health and for their health in Jesus' name. So, God, I thank you, Lord, for just the connection to divine connections with brothers and sisters around them. Thank you for the value of spiritual families, the value of spiritual parenting, the value of brothers and sisters, God, and just a crew to run with and know who we are and know who we're called to be, and that we can spur one another on in faith and in encouragement in your kingdom. God, I thank you, Lord, that you bring the fire of the Holy Spirit and the joy of God in this season over every person listening here today in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you.